Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home, we're dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and understanding the prophecies of the Bible of the days that we live in, the very end times. And we see a lot of things going on in the world, a lot of things going on and changing the governments. We've seen upheavals in the Muslim countries, and we also understand what that means. That means it's laying the groundwork for what the Bible calls in Daniel, the 11th chapter, the King of the South. Now, we've covered a lot of scripture. We've covered a lot of events in the book of Revelation, beginning in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and how is Jesus going to return? What are the flow and sequence of the events of these things? Now, let's also understand a very important principle that we outline in the book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which is that the plan of God is built upon the framework of His holy days. Now, most of the world is convinced that all of their holidays are from God. Now, we've done many, many half-hour segments on the holidays of this world, but you need this book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, so you can read, so you can understand where did they come from. And you will realize that what people claim to be the things coming out of the Bible and the Word of God are not so. They are not true. And they even admit, well, we don't use the Bible. Well, how are you going to be a Christian if you don't use the Bible? Others admit, well, Jesus did away with the law. Oh, is Jesus the minister of sin and lawlessness? You see, this world is literally upside down, and the majority of people have been used to it for so long that if someone tells them the truth, they will immediately start hurling labels and epithets. Cult, who are you? Where did you get this? Well, it's very simple. Read your Bible. Now, a lot of people have Bibles in their homes, but do they read them? Or do they do like they do in court? They have a Bible, you put your hand on it, but they never open it to find out what the laws of God say on how to handle a case that they're dealing with, whether it be rape or murder or stealing or lying or embezzlement. No, they have their own laws. Well, you see, the Bible says the laws of God are perfect. Now, do you suppose that Jesus, who was perfect and sinless, would come to this earth and declare that the laws of God are done away? Now, there are billions and millions of people who believe it, and millions of ministers who teach it. But that's a lie. Jesus said, "Don't think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I came to fulfill. For truly I say to you, and until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle from the law pass away, until all be fulfilled." I want you to think about that, because all of the understanding of the prophecies of the Bible are based on two main books for the framework, for the understanding, and that is Daniel and Revelation. Now, we have a series, Daniel and Revelation series, and we have over 20 detailed sermons going through all the Bible prophecies. So if you want to really understand, you better get out your Bible and you better get on your thinking cap and you better be ready for some real surprises. Book of Daniel gives the first half. Book of Revelation gives the second half. And all the other prophecies in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and the minor prophets, fill in the details and give us the understanding. Now, here's another secret to understanding the Bible. It says, a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. You cannot be living a life of sin. You cannot be living a pseudo-righteous life of Sunday keeping and holiday keeping and expect to understand the Bible because you're believing lies. So if you believe some lies, what makes you think that when the truth comes along, you're going to really believe it? Now, we have shown in this series that we have done on prophecy, there's going to be no secret rapture. The words are not in the Bible. The return of Christ is going to be visible and powerful. And we saw that the thing that kicks off the great tribulation is the abomination of desolation that stands in the holy place. And that means there must be a temple rebuilt in Jerusalem. And in order to fulfill the prophecies of Daniel of cutting off the sacrifices, there must be animal sacrifices again. Now, we've also seen that there is another framework on which everything relating to the Messiah hinges on, and that's the 70-week prophecy of Daniel 9. And the 70th week is the last 7 years before the return of Christ. And we've also seen that in the middle of those 7 years, that the Antichrist shows his true colors. And he enters into the temple and proclaims himself to be God. He cuts off the temple sacrifices. And the great tribulation begins, which Jesus said would be such as never has been since there was a nation and shall not ever be again. And we saw Revelation 6, how the great tribulation begins. And then that last 3.5-year period is cut into two sections. 2 years of tribulation against the 12 tribes of Israel. So if you don't know where the 12 tribes of Israel are today, then you don't have a clue on understanding where Bible prophecy is coming from. So you can go on our website and you can download Judah Scepter, Joseph Birthright, which will tell you where the end time 10 tribes of Israel really are and give you the identification of the United States and British Commonwealth in prophecy that has been prophesied thousands of years ago. Don't think by our power, by our goodness, by our internal, how should we say, genetics, that we are such a great people that between the United Kingdom or England and America that we have ruled the world for nearly 500 years. That's all by prophecy of God. And those prophecies go clear back to Genesis 49. Deuteronomy 33, then in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and the minor prophets. So we learned that when the tribulation begins, the first 2 years are against the tribes of Israel. And that 2-year period is ended by the intervention of Jesus Christ and the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, which is like another sun, and the heavens and the earth, God shakes. Let's go back here to Revelation, the 6th chapter, and let's see where that is with the 6th seal. This is going to be an awesome event. This world is going to be so absolutely flabbergasted. They know, they will realize that this is of God. But how many people really pay attention to God in the first place, even when they know it? Let's just ask a question. How many people know it's wrong to kill and murder? How many killings and murders do we have? Everybody knows that wars are wrong and hateful, killing, bludgeoning, deceitful. But what do we have? All of the above. Why? Because people, even if they know of God, and even if they understand that there is a word of God, they don't pay any attention to it. Look at all of the ones that claim to be Christians that have idols, filled their churches with idols. They're not of God. They're not Christian. So likewise, with their understanding of the Bible and the Word of God completely upside down, they don't understand the Word of God concerning prophecy. But when Jesus Christ intervenes to show that he is going to return, he is going to give advance warning of a kind after 2 years into the tribulation, that there is going to be no one on earth who will be exempt from understanding that this is the hand of God. Now we saw that only Christ could open the six seals. So let's review the sixth seal. Verse 12. And when he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as the hair of sackcloth, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree cast its untimely figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. Then the heavens departed like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. You think you're going to find some place to hide, get away from great tribulation? You think there is a single place on earth that you're going to go that God won't know where you are? It's not going to happen. God knows. Christ is returning, and he's coming back in power, and he's coming back in glory. But he's also going to warn the world first with this great appearance of the second sun called the sign of the Son of Man that shines from the east to the west. And this is when it's going to happen, when the heavens are rolled back like a scroll. Look at what men are going to do. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the powerful men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains, to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, who has the power to stand. Well, they'll soon forget that. Because it was, as we saw right after that, there's a great calm. And if we look at the holy days and see how the calendar is with the holy days, this event probably takes place right at Pentecost. Now, let's understand something. God does not use the Roman calendar that we have today. God uses his own calendar that is called the calculated Hebrew calendar, which has come down through the line of the priests with a calendar court during the days of Jesus. Jesus kept these days. Jesus kept the Sabbath. Jesus kept the holy days. So did the apostles. So did the early New Testament church. And so has the churches of God down through history. A lot of people will say, well, I never knew that. Of course. That's because you were never told it in church, and you never read the Bible, and you never asked the question, how do I understand it? Where is God? And see, all of those things are part of church at home. And we have programs to cover every one of these topics for you, so that you can find God, you can know about God, you can know what you need to do, you can understand the scriptures, you can be forewarned, you can change your life, you can repent, you can draw close to God. The time is near. And as Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he said that nearly 2,000 years ago. And now, it's at the door. So after this takes place on Pentecost, then there is a period of time of recovery. And during that period of time of recovery, we saw how there are 144,000 sealed, 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel, and a great innumerable multitude out of every language and every tongue and every nation, because with the rolling back of the heavens like a scroll, those who fear God will repent. Those who don't fear God, like anything else, what happens after earthquakes like this? Well, they start cleaning up, they start repairing, they start getting things back together again, and that second sun is out there rising and setting with the regular sun. The days are mixed up. It's not light when it's supposed to be, and it's not dark when it's supposed to be. But nevertheless, people can function. And now, the king of the north, there in Jerusalem, as this cleanup is going on, suddenly realizes that there is trouble to the north and to the east. And he goes, as it says in Daniel 11, in fury. And when he does, the seventh seal is opened, revealing seven angels with seven trumpets. And each one of these angels, when he blows his trumpet, we have a repeat, but in greater intensity, of the seals that were opened by Christ. And beginning in Revelation 8, we have this. Men and demons with super high-tech weapons fighting against God and his angels. And then the abysses open, and demons which have been bound in prison for thousands of years are now let out on the earth with these super secret weapons, and they go forth, and the fifth angel, the sixth angel, and the seventh angel, the sounding of their trumpets are called woes. So there are three woes. And the first woe is when the demons come out of the abyss, and they go and make war against the kings of the north and the east, and they are able to inflict upon them a stinging, like a scorpion stings a man. And it's going to be such that they're going to desire death and not find that. We find that in Revelation, the 8th chapter. And that lasts for 5 months. And then after those 5 months, the kings of the north and the kings of the east, their armies will recover. And then there will be the greatest army the world has ever seen. Armies strung out from the Euphrates River clear on back to China, including the nations of China and Russia and all of the stands, like Pakistan, Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, Uzbekistan, etc. India, Southeast Asia, all those armies now realizing that there is an invasion coming from outer space. But before they can tend to that, what they need to do is come against the King of the North. So we find that when the sixth angel sounds his trumpet and the second woe begins, four angels that are bound in the river Euphrates are loosed, and the river is dried up, and the way of the kings of the east and these armies is prepared. And they come in fury, and they come in power, and they come in mass. But remember, you don't get 200 million men in one place. These armies are strung out all the way back to China. And they come in waves. God then gathers them together. Now then, when the seventh trumpet sounds, just before it sounds, something dramatic is going to happen. And it's going to get the attention of the whole world. And that is that second sun, the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, suddenly starts moving toward the earth and comes with great speed. And then all of a sudden, right over Jerusalem, whew, in the clouds, is going to be a vast sea of glass. Then the seventh trumpet sounds, and the dead are raised. All of those in the first resurrection, true Christians, true saints, true worshipers of God, down through history, the first fruits. And that takes place on Pentecost. They're all raised to meet Christ in the air for the meeting, as we saw. We saw how that harvest was to be. Let's come back here to Revelation 15, verse 2. And I saw a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had gotten victory over the beast. Now, we're going to have some sermons on the mark of the beast. And over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the lyres, or as the King James says, harps of God. Now, when this resurrection takes place, the dead are going to be raised first. And the first two of the dead to be raised are the two witnesses. Now we'll bring a video segment on the two witnesses. Who are they? Then all the dead will be raised, and the angels of God will go gather them up and carry them to this vast sea of glass. Someone might say, well, why do they have to go up there on the sea of glass? Well, we'll cover that here in just a little bit. But there are some things that have to take place yet before Christ and then the resurrected saints return with him to the earth to set up the kingdom of God. Now, let's also read this here. Verse 3, and they were singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Now that shows that there are those from the Old Testament and New Testament who are raised at the same time to receive eternal life. Notice what they're saying. Great and awesome are your works. I guess so. Here they are raised and they have spirit bodies. Great and awesome are your works, Lord God Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, O King of saints. And all the saints will be there on that sea of glass. And we are going to see that there are some events that are going to take place which will truly be awesome, that need to be done. Because there's a lot of logistics that all of those raised from the dead are going to have to learn. Someone might ask, well, how are they going to communicate to each other? Good question. I can answer it this way. When God created Adam and Eve, did he put a language in their minds? Yes, he did. When we're resurrected from the dead, will God be able to give us a language where we will all, from all ages, from Abel clear down to the two witnesses, be able to communicate with each other? Without a doubt, that's no problem for God. So we're going to have to learn some things while we're on the sea of glass. And then we're going to have to understand what are the rest of the nations on the earth doing when they realize that this vast sea of glass, as we covered last time, represents to them, the ones on the earth, an invasion from outer space. Why do you think the world has been deceived concerning UFOs and aliens and things like this? Yes, there are aliens in outer space. Number one, God the Father. Number two, Jesus Christ. Number three, the angels of God. Number four, the aliens on earth are Satan and the demons. So, Satan and the demons we're going to see are going to completely deceive the rest of mankind when this awesome sea of glass is in the clouds over Jerusalem. And it says here, verse 4, who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you only are holy, and all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been revealed. Now that's the whole purpose of it, to bring the kingdom of God to this earth, to have righteous religion, if I could use the phrase, to have righteous government and get rid of the governments of men, because it said when the seventh trumpet sounded that all the kingdoms of the earth have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. The kingdom of God is coming on the earth. But there's going to be one last great battle yet that's going to be fought. And so I hope this review up to this point helps you to understand the events that are in the Bible and what the events portray in the Bible are far, far different than you will get from any so-called Christian or Catholic or Muslim or Hindu organization telling about the end times. Now, please remember, go to our other website, cbcg.org, and you can download the entire series on Daniel and Revelation with charts. And each one of these sermons are an hour and a half in length. And we go through in great detail, step by step by step, through all of the critical prophecies of the Bible so that you can know and understand what they are. And be sure and write in for the book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days. And if you already have that one, then the next book to get is God's Plan for Mankind Revealed by His Sabbath and Holy Days. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.